Thank you, Hannah. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Rennie, and that been praying for me. I appreciate that so much, and you can continue praying, even as I speak. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for this opportunity to open up the word of God. Thank you for the word of God, Father, the truth. Father, I pray that you would help us as we look into your word. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher. May we have ears to hear what you have to say. Father, if there's anything I say that's not true, please help us not even to remember it. I pray, Father, that the assembly, your people here will be built up, be edified, be encouraged. And I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will be magnified. It is him, Father, that we want to hear and see and know more and more. And we thank you so much for him, Father. And we pray this all in his name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so my heart this morning is thinking about what are we here for? What is our purpose? What is God's purpose in us? We know from the scriptures that God has a will for every one of us. His will is that all men would be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. Full knowledge of the truth. So he has a will for you to be saved. But that's just the beginning. He says in that's in 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Peter chapter 3, we hear that God, the reason he hasn't returned yet is because he's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any of us would perish. But we all come to repentance. Repentance is changing your mind. It's agreeing with God. He doesn't want anybody to perish. That word perish, as we look at our purpose, what's our purpose in life? God has a plan and a purpose for each of us. And if we don't enter in to what God wants from us, we're going to perish. For the very reason God created us, we're going to miss it. And that's why it's called perish. The word is translated destruction, sometimes ruination. Everybody that's in hell right now has perished. It's not synonymous with hell, but everyone in hell, that is not the purpose that God made them for, not to be there. They missed the very purpose of why God created them. And that's why it's called perishing. And we can think about that as a fruit. We put a piece of fruit on the window, in the windowsill to it ripen, and we forget about it. And you know, weeks later, we look at it, and it's perished. Maybe we can use it for fertilizing or something, but it's not for what it was made for. And so if you're not saved, that's the first step, to get into what God has for you. The Bible says that we're all sinners. We're all on a road that leads to destruction, which if we don't get off that road, we are perishing, we will have perished. We need to get on the road that leads to life. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the door. He said, if any man enter in by me, he will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. What do we have to believe? Well, we're the sinners. We have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Our sins separate us from a holy God. Lord Jesus Christ, if you die in your sins, where I go, you cannot come. And you will perish. And so what we need to do is repent, meaning we agree with God, and we believe him. He will not lie. Believe him. He loves you, and he died on the cross for your sins. He took your place, substitution. He lived the life I couldn't live. He died the death that I deserve. And by putting your faith and trust in him, believing in him, he's promised you that he'll save you. Save you from sin, death, and the penalty of death is a lost eternity in hell. So if you're not saved, get saved. It's what you're here for. And that's just the start, though. That's just the beginning of what he has planned for us. Back in Genesis chapter 1, we would read, when God, in chapter 1, verse 26, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, this is in creation, when God, the first 6 days of creation, when he created the heavens and the earth. And he said in chapter 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness and let him have dominion. He talks about here dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creepy thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so we see that God made man in his image. And we are to become like him. That's the plan. That was the plan. As we got to know him, as we fellowshiped with him, as we would hear from him and he would teach us, we'd become more and more like him. That's the plan. Sin entered into the world. And when man sinned, he became so unlike God. And God, after he created in 6 days and he saw everything was very good, he rested. And when sin entered the world, he started working again. And so, as we come to the New Testament, we find that that's still the plan, okay? That's still the plan, that we become like God. We become like him. But now it's all in Christ Jesus. The Bible, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we enter into Christ. We are in him. And that is where everything is in Christ. Every blessing. We read in Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1. We read that, blessed be the God and Father, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Even as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. In love, having predestinated us unto, it's really son place, by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to his good pleasure, his will, to praise and glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted, that means highly favored, it's in Christ, in the beloved, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. See, all this, and you could go through the book of Ephesians and look at all that we have in Christ. Once we enter into Christ, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 that this is the record, the witness that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Who has the Son has life. Who doesn't have the Son of God does not have life. And we've been singing about that, eternal life, life eternal. It's in him. And once we believe in him, we enter into him. The Bible says that 2 Corinthians 5:17, any person, any man, any woman that's in Christ is a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. It's the start of what God has planned for you once you're in Christ. The Bible says that, we can turn to Romans chapter 8. The Bible says that, the Bible, nowhere in the Bible does it say that you, before the foundation, and see this plan was in effect before the foundation of the world. And nowhere in the Bible does it say that you are, that God has determined or predetermined that there's going to be some that are saved and that some that are going to die and go to hell. You won't find that in the scriptures. What you find is, once you're in Christ, you see, that's what it is. Once you're in Christ, once you believe, and whosoever will may come, whosoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. You enter into Christ, and then everything that God had planned before the foundation of the world becomes, you become part of it. It's all in Christ. And so in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, you're familiar with this verse, I'm sure. Verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. He has a purpose for us. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. The greatest thing that has ever happened to us is that when we're saved, we're going to become like his Son. Can you imagine that? All these blessings that we have are in Christ, and they're abundant, abundant, abundant. But the main thing is we get to know him, and we're going to be like him. I mean, that's just amazing. God so loved his Son, and had so much pleasure in his Son. I don't know why. God doesn't really explain the whole plan to us, right? He wants that pleasure in us is when we're like his Son, and we're going to be like him. But God wants us to start that now. And part of the progression starts the day you're saved, and then and would become more like him. That was the original plan back in Genesis, right? Made in his image, become like him. And we do that I use Paul as an example a lot. Paul, I love Paul. So if you can turn to Acts 20 and 24. I use Paul a lot. He himself says that he is a pattern of God's grace, mercy, and long suffering to all who will believe with everlasting life. Much of the New Testament is about Paul. He wrote much of the New Testament. And so the plan, and it's the plan for Paul, the plan for every one of us, what God's purpose is for all of us, is that we become like his son. That's the plan for all of us. And the marvelous thing is and we'll look at it in Philippians chapter 1, he says he will accomplish it, okay? That will happen. When we, our salvation is from the moment we first, what we would say is get saved or believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've been given his righteousness, we've been justified, we've been saved from sin, the penalty, and the separation forever. But that's just the beginning of our salvation. Our salvation is not complete until until we go through the judgment seat of Christ. And then when we see him, and he removes everything that offends him, we'll be like him, we'll see him. But why we're here on earth, we all, there's other purposes that God has made us for. Just even in Ephesians, it was one of the purposes he chose us was that we'd be holy and without blame before him. That's a done deal positionally. But practically, we live that life out here, right? And he gives us, Paul is a chosen vessel. Paul, in Acts 9, he was on his way to kill Christians, arrest Christians. He persecuted Christians. And the Lord Jesus stopped him. Paul was fell on his face, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And he said, what would you have me do? And he tells him what to do. And the Lord talking about Paul, he said he's a chosen vessel. Okay, each of us are a chosen vessel. These bodies we live in is a vessel. And we're a chosen vessel for a purpose. Might not be, eventually all like Christ. That we all have in common. Paul's specific purpose that God chose him for was to bear his name before Gentiles, before kings, before the Jewish nation, and to suffer reproach or suffer persecution for his name's sake. Okay, that was one of Paul's. He was also entrusted with the gospel to the Gentiles. And so Paul had a purpose. And we read here, and we all, each of us God has a special purpose for every one of us. And there's probably many purposes in your life. But you're an individual, and each of us, it might not be the same as your brother or your sister, but each of us have them. But this is what Paul's, and this is what I want to get out of here, is Paul's attitude towards this, Paul's mind, how he thought on these things. In Acts 20, Paul had a clear testimony. The Holy Spirit had clearly shown Paul that he was going to go to prison. He was going to be, and afflictions were awaiting him. This is what Paul said in Acts 20 and 24. And he said, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. He did not count his life dear. His goal, he wanted, that word finish, that's the same word that our Lord said on the cross. When our Lord finished the work that his Father gave him to do regarding our sin and the sin problem, and he said, it is finished. Teleos. And that word means to come to an end, to a completion. There's various in the book of Hebrews we read, many times it's the word perfected, or finisher, or completer, or complete, or come to an end. come to an end. And the main thing is every one of us have been given something and to do, an order, a command, it could be your career, whatever it might be. Paul talks about it as a course. His desire was to finish, and that means to complete what was given to you, to finish the work that was given to you. And our Lord Jesus, of course, did it perfectly in everything he did. But that's what that word means. So as Paul's desire, it's like, you know, you have an aim or a purpose, and you want to get to that. And that's what Paul's desire was. And he wanted to finish the course that God had given him. And so as we turn to 2 Timothy, it was this word course, that could be a race, it could be a career, it could be whatever God has given us. John the Baptist talks about him, and it said when John fulfilled his course, when he finished what God had given him, and that was right before John died. And so Paul's desire was to finish his course. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, we have the last letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. And he wrote it to Timothy, his son in the faith. He had led Timothy to Christ, and Timothy had labored with him. Timothy, had a troubled Timothy. Here Paul, whom he loved, and whom he labored with, and whom he was like-minded with Paul, and that special relationship they had, and now Paul is going to die. He knew it. And so 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, and you know, think about Timothy, right? I mean, you know, he didn't have Paul to rely on anymore. You know, the great apostle, right? So it's a beautiful letter. It's really the last words from Paul to Timothy, and it'd be good for us to take these in. Paul says in chapter 4, verse 5, he's talking to Timothy. Writing to Timothy, he said, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." This thing's encouraging to, you know, Timothy, you know, you've been given ministry. And Timothy had endured afflictions with Paul. You know, Timothy had done the work of an evangelist, but he's encouraging to keep going. Right? Paul's going to be leaving. Make full proof of your ministry, Timothy. And Paul says, "For I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." You know, his desire was to finish what God had given him, and he did it. He fought a good fight. You know, we're all in a battle. We're all in a battle. Not all fight. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, just turn over a page. Again, Paul writing, you know, to his son, verse 1. To his son Timothy there. "Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard among many witnesses and the same, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others." Also, and that's what we have to do. You know, think about this for ourselves, you know, and someone passed it on to us. This is a treasure that we have. And we should pass it on to others, faithful men who will be able to teach others. And then he says, "Now, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." You know, if we're in the Lord's army, he's chosen us for this. You know, it's something that we all should be in the battle. You know, we're all to put on that full armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, you know, do you put it on? We need to have it on. There's a battle going on out there. The enemy is real. In Ephesians chapter 6, I won't go to it, but it's the full armor we need to fight in this battle. And if we don't have that armor on, we're forget it. But are you in the battle? I mean, do you even want to be in the battle? I mean, that's the question. We're all in it, but some don't fight. And then he says back to chapter 4, "And I finished the course." I finished the course. Hebrews chapter 12, the race. We're all in a race. Every one of us in a race, but not all run. Some, as in Hebrews 6, they talk about them falling, not away, but they fall alongside. They just stop running. And they stop going forward. There's a lot of reasons why we might stop. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," all these that went before, in chapter 11, there were examples, men and women like us, that through faith accomplished mighty, mighty works of God. God doing it through them, but it was their, by their faith, they got to be part of it. And so he said, you know, seeing we're accomplished about what's so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And the answer is, how we can do this is looking unto Jesus, the author, the captain, the leader, and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. You know, we have to consider him. We have to look to him. Who endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. If we don't do these things, we are going to be weary. We are going to faint. So Paul ran that race. He finished the race, the course. He finished what God had gave him. And he says he kept the faith. So back in 2 Timothy 4:8 now. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You're looking for his glorious appearing. We have a blessed hope and a glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you looking? Maybe today. Might be today. He's our hope, you know. And so there's a lot of people that might, believers that don't really want him to come back. They got too many things going on right now that they're just, you know, I'm a little busy right now. We're missing it. We're missing out on it, if that's the case. He says in verse 9 to Timothy, you know, how much he longed probably to see him before he was going to be killed. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. And then verse 10. This is a sad verse. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas was a good man. He was a good brother. He was with Paul in his first prison when he was in prison. I don't know if he was in prison with Paul, but he was there. When Paul wrote the letter to the Colossians and to Philemon, he mentions Demas. Demas was there. Demas was a fellow laborer with Paul. That means he was laboring just like Paul. When we read about what Paul was doing, Demas was right there with him. I don't know for how long, but it says here that he's forsaken me, having loved this present world. And, you know, in fairness to Demas, they were killing Christians right at this point. They were killing Christians. Paul was going to be killed. And he was with him. He had to be from there for a number of years with him. We don't know the end of Demas. This might not have been how it ended for Demas, because God could restore. I like in 3 John, there's a man named Demetrius who had a good report among all men. Now, I don't know why that's added in there, and Demas is a similar name to Demetrius. I hope that was Demas. Mark failed. Mark started out well and then failed, but then was restored and was very useful in the work of the Lord. We all can fall into these traps, and but what speaks to me is who, and if it was written about me, would I be like Paul? I fought the good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Or would I be like Demas, who has forsaken me, having loved this present world? And to me, I'm more like Demas than Paul. The great thing about our Lord is if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts, and there's time to recover and time to be used by him. And Paul himself even had times that it's not all recorded, but I'm sure Paul was discouraged many times. I know when Titus wasn't there in 2 Corinthians, he was pressed, he was sorrowful. He had his doubts. He was a man like us. But Paul is my example. Is why I like to use him is because what's our purpose? To become like Christ, right? And the reason, and I come to the conclusion, is why was Paul such a man of God? And why was Paul, was able to finish his course, was able to keep the faith, was such a mighty man of God? It was because he was so like Christ. That's the point. Paul, whatever ministry God has given you, a husband, a wife, a child, at the workplace, in school, your neighborhood, every one of those places are where you were to live out your faith. And it's, you don't have to go to another country to do it. I mean, right here in Schenectady. And wherever you are, you can magnify the Lord. You can serve the Lord, and you can be a blessing. You know, two believers can be in the same place, and one. I mean, when I got saved, I met believers after I was saved. I never knew they were Christians. Never knew. I'm telling them about the Lord, and they say, "Oh, I'm a Christian." You know, and two people can be in the same place, and one can make such a difference. And so no matter where you are, that's the place you live out your faith. But the more you're like Christ, no matter what the ministry is, you're going to be really good at it, because it's Christ. He's going to give you and they're going to see Him, and He does all things well. I touch on that. I'm going to go to Philippians chapter 1. I believe that's the key. You know, you can be doing things for God. You know, you're part of everything that's going on in the assembly, and you're sharing the gospel with people. But if you're not, the greatest work that God did through Paul was in Paul. That Paul became like Christ. That was the greatest work. The other things they just flowed out of that. And for us too, you know, we can be tied up in a ministry, we can be doing things, but missing the very purpose of our life, right? God will still bless, okay? Sometimes we had a lot of the children's meetings and stuff like that. So many times I look back, I'm like, I did that all on my own strength. You know, I was like, oh, let's decide what we're going to do, and we did that and this. You know, kids got saved, thank the Lord. That's because He's good. But we can do that and miss the very purpose, you know, to become like Christ. That's the greatest work He's doing in us. And so in Philippians chapter 1, just to for encouragement, in verse 6, Paul writes, "Being confident of this very thing, that He which begun a good work in you, He will perform it or complete it, He will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ." Okay? He'll do it. Every one of us here that is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ will be like Him. He's going to finish the work. And that's a marvelous thing, okay? His work, and He will finish it. He'll do it. Just an example, like for the Apostle Paul and how he lived out his faith. Now, he's in prison at this time. He's in prison, okay? The great Apostle Paul going out, starting churches, people getting saved and all this. Now he's in prison. Does that stop the ministry? No, Paul rejoiced. He's in prison. In verse 12, he's telling the Philippians, I would that you'd understand, brethren, that the things that have happened unto me have fallen out rather for the furtherance of the gospel. You know, so see where he was? He was in prison. That didn't stop the work. And he said in verse 13 that my bonds in Christ are manifested, or they're evident in all the palace and all other places. Everybody knew that Paul was there for Christ. He wasn't an evildoer. They knew that. He was there as a prisoner of Christ. He was there preaching Christ. He was there. He was leading men and women. Well, not women, probably. I don't know. But he was leading men to Christ. The other believers were more confident. They were speaking more boldly. Some even preached Christ out of envy and strife, trying to add afflictions to Paul's bonds. But they were preaching Christ. You know what he said in verse 18? He goes, "What then? Notwithstanding, either way, in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, I rejoice. Yea, I will rejoice." You see, he didn't let the circumstances change his message. What was it that Paul the main thing? Yes, the gospel. But look what he says in verse 19. "For I know that this," and I think that was his testimony. I think that was his testimony. This was that they all knew he was there for Christ. And he goes, "I think this will turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." And he valued prayer. He valued prayer. And the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that's the word that we get the word choreography. You know, it was like, you know, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ working in Paul, in the prayers of the saints. And what was his salvation he was talking about? He wasn't talking about his salvation from sin. He wasn't talking about his salvation to get out of prison. He knew he was going to. he was so had such a relationship with the Lord. He knew he wasn't going to be there long, and the Lord probably gave him that. But it wasn't whether he died or lived. He's like, well, you know, it doesn't matter to me. I would actually rather die and be with Christ, which is far better. What was his that he wanted his salvation? And look at verse 20. It says, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, in life or death. That was Paul. Paul wanted, no matter what the circumstance, he didn't want to give a bad testimony of the Lord Jesus. He didn't want to be ashamed. He wanted Christ to be magnified in his life. You know, he got it. And from that flowed out the work that Paul did. And so to be like Christ, so how do we become like Christ? Well, he goes on and explains that in chapter 2. And we're very familiar with this verse. You know, if we want to be like Christ, like right here in verse 5, he says, let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. So have this attitude. This is what we gotta have, the attitude that Christ had. And he said, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself, you see, self, made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself. The Lord Jesus Christ was always Almighty God, and he was fully man. He didn't empty himself of deity or anything like that. He wasn't denying himself of things. He denied self. Not me, not my will. I want to please my Father. And he didn't consider himself. He considered us. He looked on us more than himself. And this is that mind that we have. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a bondservant. He became in the likeness of men. He was found in fashion as a man, and he humbled himself. He took the low position. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I couldn't not read that. And so then he says in verse 12 for us, he says, wherefore, my beloved, as you always obey, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. Okay, we have a life to live. This salvation starts when we get saved, and it goes through the judgment seat of Christ. And throughout it, we need God, God's deliverance, God saving us continually, not saving us from sin, but saving us from situations we're in, saving us, helping us, and we work out the salvation. And the thing is that it is God who works in us, both to will and do his good pleasure. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ came. When he came to do the will of God. It said in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will. He delighted to do the will of God. And then because of that, God would open heaven and say, this is my beloved son, in whom is all my pleasure. And so you see, God wants us to do, God will work in us to do his will and his good pleasure. The only way we please God is when we're like him, his son. That's it. That's God's delight, is his son. And we get to join in and be part of that. And as we're like him, we could please God. It's him doing it, but he brings us along. We're able to join in with that great salvation, be a part of it. Paul goes on to use Timothy as an example. In verse 19, he talks about Timothy. He wanted to send him to him. Look what it says about Timothy in verse 20. I have no man like-minded who will generally care for your state. All seek their own. All seek themselves. They're all thinking of themselves. I mean, you know, I'm guilty, right? I think of myself way too much. But Timothy wasn't like that. He was like Paul. He didn't think of himself. He was like Christ in that way. And he goes, you know, he says they all seek themselves, not the things that are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him as a son with the Father, he has served me as like a bond slave in the gospel. You know, he was a bond slave to the gospel with Paul. They both had that same mind. They were like-minded. They were in unison together. They cared more for the people than themselves. Epaphroditus is another man. Verse 25 talks about Epaphroditus. Paul says, he's my brother. He's my companion in labor. He's a fellow soldier. And Epaphroditus was sick. And verse 30 said, because of the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life. His service to Paul, to the gospel, to the Philippians, he didn't regard himself. He cared about them more, and he almost died. But that was like Christ. Paul finally uses as an example himself. Paul, he was a man that if before he was saved, there was none better than him. Just ask him. He concerning zeal, it says in verse 6, he says, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. I mean, this is what he thought of himself until he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he realized that he was, he calls himself the chief sinner, number one sinner. Once he realized and started to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ, he realized what he was. And so he was so thankful that for the mercy of God, for the long suffering of God towards him, for the grace of God that would allow him to even be put into the ministry, to be used by God. He deserved to be in hell. But yet God was so good. And he said in verse 7, what things were gained to me, I have counted them all loss for Christ. And yet doubtless I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them dung or refuge, that I may win Christ, gain Christ. And I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And his desire, he says, I want to know him. I want to know him. He knew him, but he wanted to know him more. And you know what? We spoke from here, Andrew mentioned the power of an endless life. We are going to be all eternity, we're going to be knowing the Lord Jesus, and knowing him more, and knowing him more. What a hope we have. What an awesome God. But this was Paul's desire now, to know him. The power of his resurrection. I think that was mentioned. Andrew mentioned that too. You know, if we think about it, right, when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, what actually happened, we don't realize this, especially before you're saved, we actually died with Christ on that cross. It was my death. He died. He lived the perfect life that I couldn't live, and I died with him, and I was buried with him, and I rose with him in newness of life, in union with him. And I live, the possibilities are I can live that resurrected life right now. And that's what Paul's desire was with Christ, his life. But it comes with fellowship of his sufferings, to make conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul goes on and he talks about how he said, verse 12, I had not already attained, either were I already perfect. You know, that word perfect, he hadn't got there yet. But that was his desire. He kept going. That was the goal. Okay, now it wasn't going to happen until he goes through the judgment seat of Christ. But this is that attitude he had. I want it now. I want to follow after. I want to apprehend that which I've been apprehended by Christ. And he said, brethren, count not myself to have apprehended in verse 11, but this one thing. For I forget those things which are behind. I reach forth to the things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And it encourages them, you know, if any of you want to be perfect, if any of you have that same desire, let's be like-minded. Verse 16, it says, only whereunto have we already attained, let us walk in that same rule. Let us mind the same things. Have that fellowship together. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them, which also so you have as an example. You know, they had Epaphroditus, Timothy, Paul, imitators. You know, Paul would say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And mark them. Walk as they have examples. Ooh, it's time it flies. I'm sorry. It just seems like I started. That clock right? Oh my. Okay. Let's see. These next few verses. So we have these ones to follow. Mark them, walk as they walk. And then Paul says, many walk whom I told you often, and now I tell you even weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end, okay, that's our word again, that where they should be, there should be a goal that they reach, but no, they don't reach that goal. Their end is destruction. That's ruination. That's the word we get perishing from. Whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Andrew just quoted Colossians 3:1. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth, for you are dead, your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall also appear with him in glory. This, I believe, is to believers. We're going to close on Luke 9 because I'm really running out of time here. But I apologize for that. Just as we had Demas, who loved this present world, in contrast to Paul, we have some that are enemies of the cross. And what does the cross mean? The cross means death. If you were carrying a cross, you were going to die. How do we attain that resurrected life? We must die to self. We must take up our cross daily and follow him. But, you know, you don't have to, you can turn on the radio, go to some big mega churches, and you'll hear what enemies of the cross will say. They don't talk about dying to self. They don't talk about it at all. That is foreign to many Christians. But if we want to be like Christ, that's what has to happen. John the Baptist said, I must decrease, he must increase. And so Paul weeps because these people were living for self. Self. They weren't going to, their end, as a Christian, can have a life that perishes, a ruined life for God. Your redeemed life could be wasted. The God is their belly, their flesh. They're more interested in things of the flesh. And their glory and their shame, what they're glorying in, they should be ashamed of what they're glorying in. My big houses, my big cars, my great preaching, my whatever. And I'm glorying in it. They mind earthly things. And so I know some might not think that's to believers. I believe it is. And I'll just bring it out to the cross. And you'll see the same with our Lord taught in Luke 9 about the cross. And think about that with those passages that just came. In Luke 9, chapter 23, chapter 9, verse 23, the Lord said, he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Again, not denying yourself of things, deny self. Not me, Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. These examples we had, not thinking of self. Take up his cross daily and follow me. It's daily. It's every day. This is we can't sustain this. We can't say for the next year I'm going to do this. It's every day, daily, one day at a time. Paul understood what the cross meant, right? He would say, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. In the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He understood what the cross meant. I'm crucified with Christ. He would say in Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should boast save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Death to self. That's how we get to Christ. I must decrease, he must increase. He says, whosoever will save his life for himself will lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. And he says, what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself? Lose his redeemed self. Lose his redeemed life that he could have work he could have done for Christ, he did for himself. And it says, or be cast away. That's suffer loss. He's going to suffer loss. The things I gained in this world, for what? What are they going to be in 100 years? C.T. said, whatever I've done for Christ is what's going to last. And then he says, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and his Father's in his own glory and in his Father's and the holy angels. That suffer loss, that's the same in First Corinthians chapter 3, the judgment seat. You know, if any man build gold, silver, precious metals, hay, wheat, wood, stubble, those, every work's going to be tried up. And you're going to be burned up. The stuff that burns up, that's suffering loss. You're going to miss on your rewards. That's what it's talking about here. I've gone too long as it is. I think of Peter. I'm going to close. Remember all things working together for good. For those who love God, called for his purpose, so that we can be conformed to his image, right? And Peter, the Lord told Peter, Satan desires to sift you, but I pray for you. And when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. Peter's saying, I'm going to die for you. So the Lord said, you're going to deny me three times because I'm not somewhere. Nope. And so Peter was sifted. And he denied the Lord three times. That cock crowed. And he looked, and the Lord looked, and he went out and wept bitterly. He went out and wept bitterly. He was ashamed. He was ashamed. But the Lord said, I pray for you. And he goes, when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. And you know, Peter ended up becoming a shepherd in the flock. Peter was restored. That what happened to Peter was good for him. And I think, to think about it, is after that happened, did Peter's faith go down or up? His faith was increased because he knew what the Lord said will happen, and because it did happen. And although he was discouraged in himself, the Lord prayed for him and strengthened him, that he was able to strengthen his brethren. The conclusion, which I never got, I'm sorry, but maybe we feel like I've loved this present world, or I've been living for self way too much. The book of Hebrews tells us that if you hear his voice, there's still today. He's ready, just like he did Peter, to restore us. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're not discouraged. Maybe you don't get discouraged. But if you do, keep going. And the answer is, which we didn't really get to, was looking to Jesus. We read that verse in Hebrews 12. Consider our high priest, the apostle and high priest of our confession. It's him, looking to him. I'm sorry, I went way too long. But he's provided us with so much to live a victorious life. The Holy Spirit within us, the Word of God, each other. We need to pray for each other, fellowship, the encouraging of each other, and our great high priest. He's able to help us. I wanted to get to the high priest, but he's able to help us. He runs to help us. So the things that God has given us, let us effectively use them, that we might live a life that pleases him, that we might become more like the Lord Jesus Christ and be a blessing to this world. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the provisions you provided us to live a victorious life. We thank you that we are we're not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed by renewing of our mind. We can become like the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to agree with your word. Help us to be just vessels to be used for the Master, that we would be chosen vessels that are used for what you have for us, no matter what it is. Whatever you've given us to do is important, and it's good, and you want to be magnified. So we pray, Lord Jesus, we magnify through our lives. We pray, Lord, that this assembly, Lord, and would be built up, and we pray, Lord, that the people we come across would see Christ. He's the altogether lovely one. So help us, God, as we become more like your Son day by day. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I apologize again. I don't know what happened to the time. I'm so sorry. I thought I had a lot of time. I'm like, oh.